From our comments page, Chuck in Brooklyn writes, if you can die for this country, you should be able to drink to it. And sure enough, when you're 18, you can vote, gamble, go off to war, drive a car, but you can't legally have a drink in the United States. The legal drinking age became 21 in the 80s, but I think we all know that that law is hardly effective. Go to any college campus. But why do we have this law if it's not preventing people from actually drinking before the age of 21 and the dangers that go along with that? Now, 114 college presidents from around the country have signed on to something called the Amethyst Initiative, which aims to reopen the debate about lowering the drinking age from 21 back to 18. Here to give us both sides are John McArdle, founder of Choose Responsibility and former president of Middlebury College, and Laura Dean Mooney, the president of Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Thank you both very much for joining us on WNYC today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
The drinking age was raised to 21 in most, if not all, states in the late 80s. You can tell me if it's still 18 anywhere. But Mr. McArdle, why are college presidents reopening this debate right now?
Well, it's 18 only in Puerto Rico, and alcohol-related traffic fatalities dropped in Puerto Rico by 11% last year. Everywhere else, it's 21. The presidents who have signed this statement believe that it is well past time to reopen public debate about just how well this law has served us in the 24 years that it's been on the books. And certainly, as you pointed out in your introduction, on its own terms, it's very, very hard to judge this law a success. And all of the statistics that you're going to hear summoned over the next 15 minutes, you need to keep in mind, describe the situation as it has evolved with the age at 21. Certainly on college campuses, we see that, in fact, the more successful we are in enforcing the law, the more successful we also are in driving alcohol consumption beyond our view and often beyond our boundaries into the most risky and least manageable of environments. If we were to create an environment for binge drinking, we wouldn't create a student union, we wouldn't create a large public place. We'd create a locked dorm room, we'd create an off-campus apartment, we'd create a clandestine location, which is exactly where legal age 21 has driven alcohol consumption over the last 24 years.
And as far as the federal role, just to clarify that, it's the threat of taking away 10% of federal highway money that encourages states to implement the 21-year-old age limit, and that's probably a large reason why there was 100% compliance by the mid-90s. But Laura Dean Mooney, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, obviously is in favor of keeping the drinking age at 21, but what you heard what former college president John McArdle just laid out about sort of the effects of prohibition and the binge drinking that it creates.
Well, yes, I did hear that. You know, it's interesting, though, if you look at some data, it says, you know, research shows that the problem of binge drinking is worse amongst college-age students who are actually in college than those versus those who are not in college. You go out and look at the age group 18 to 20 who are hard-working, full-time working people, you don't see beer pong being played. You don't see bars lined around their places of employment. You see bars lined around campus areas. Some have 30 bars within a mile radius. We know that 21 actually does work. If there was not 49 peer-reviewed studies, then I think we would certainly have an agreement point there. But we do differ in that we have the science, we have the data, we have the American Medical Association, the National Transportation Safety Board, the Governor's Highway Association, and really Americans supporting us. They overwhelmingly reject the idea of lowering the drinking age.
We have only about 5 minutes for calls on this. You can go to our comments page and post all day if you want. A lot of people have chimed in on this on the comments page even before we started the segment, so you can do that at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. But if you want to call in right now, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And you were almost saying there, Ms. Dean Mooney, that there's a class divide here, that maybe there's a problem that this law creates for college students living on campus, but for people not going to college or commuters, it tends to be more of a solution. Are you saying that?
Well, right. There's a perfect storm of affluence, opportunity, tolerance on college campuses. They can get alcohol pretty easily, unfortunately. And underage students drink there because they can. They're not carded always. Enforcement is not being done as it should in some college campuses. They're in a high-risk environment where enforcement does vary. So there might be a difference there, you know, in class, as you mentioned, between them. But would we risk killing that many, you know, underage drinkers, potential underage drinkers, and pass this problem off mm-hmm. to high school principals? It's not a good idea.
Mr. McArdle, class issue?
We're killing more than 1,000 a year now, dying to alcohol-related causes between the age of 18 to 24. I don't believe it is a class-related issue, and I would ask Ms. Mooney how she would explain to the 20-year-old combat veteran returning to this country why he should not be permitted under the law to drink a beer.
Well, as Dr. McArdle well knows, this isn't a rights and responsibility issue. It's a public health and safety issue. It's not uncommon to have different ages for anything, to vote, to drive, to run for president. 21 works because we know that alcohol-related fatalities went down. Yes, we still have students on college campuses primarily that are binge drinking themselves to death, that are jumping off buildings at spring break, that are drowning by jumping into shallow pools. There is a problem. We don't deny that. We simply disagree with the solution. We're open to the debate, but it has to be an honest discussion that includes the science that's really there.
Mike in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Mike.
Yes, how are you doing? I just wanted to ask Laura Dean Mooney just a few points. One is that she said it's a public health and health issue, I believe she just stated.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, well, why don't we just have a license for drinking? Because if they are allowed to drink at younger ages in other countries and they don't have the same problems that we have, what we're essentially saying is that Americans have problems, mental problems, that are not seen in other countries.
Right. Well, let's put the license question aside. But he is right, isn't he, Ms. Dean Mooney, that the United States is rare in having a drinking age of 21?
Well, yes, other countries do have that. They also have public transportation that's much better than we have here in the States. They're also looking, if you look at recent articles out of Great Britain, they're looking at raising their drinking age to 21 because 18 is not working in the United Kingdom.
Dr. McArdle?
We're out of step with most of the rest of the world. And when one looks at the vast majority of countries that have been studied, what we see is that in many of those countries, there may be higher levels of consumption, but there is a much, much, much lower level of intoxication. And that's the distinction we need to draw. Drinking to intoxication is a significant problem in this country, and we are one of the few countries with a 21-year-old drinking age.
Adrian in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, hi. I'm just calling because when I was in the military, I was serving at the 10th Mountain, and there are a lot of 18-year-olds there who were drinking, and we would always go across the border to Canada when we were 19 to get our alcohol. But when we were deployed, we're drinking all the time. So it isn't just a college epidemic. It's also military as well.
Thank you for your call. Either of you want to comment on that? Is there a military aspect to this?
Well, I'm still waiting for an answer to the question that I posed about what explanation is given to the returning 20-year-old combat veteran.
Well, okay, Ms. Dean Mooney, what about that? Or even as Chuck put it on our website, Chuck from Brooklyn, if you can die for this country, you should be able to drink to it.
Well, DOD, the Department of Defense, that has supported the 21 law in 1984, and they still do today. I don't believe the Pentagon or any officials within the military system want to see young soldiers die just because they're celebrating coming home. There's got to be a better way to do that than saying, okay, you have the right to have a beer. That's not what it's about. And Dr. McArdle has presidents on board because he wants to see this, they want to see this discussion, debate, whatever you want to label it, happen. It's not about college students sitting down and having a glass of wine or sherry with their college professor at all.
Well, it is about that because the law prohibits that. The law is not selective. The law is absolute. The law is a blunt instrument taken to a very specific problem.
It has
everything to do with that.
We only have a couple of minutes, but I want to go from the law to the science because there's some research that shows that the earlier you drink, the more likely you are to be an alcoholic eventually. And some science says that because brain development continues into your early 20s, heavy drinking irreparably damages your brain. Other research argues that there's little difference between your brain at 18 and your brain at 21. Is there a science argument here too, Laura Dean Moody?
Well, the science is very clear. If your listeners would like to go to mad.org, they can certainly find the links to these 50-plus high-quality studies that found that 21 does save lives. It's scientists, it's researchers that have studied this for a number of years and looked all the way back, and they still say it works. Why would we contemplate changing it?
Dr. McArdle?
First it was 48 studies, now it's 50. Whatever the number is, the other half of those studies show no relationship whatsoever between the two variables. Adolescent brain is not fully developed until the age of 25. If we're serious about basing public policy on science rather than on opinions, we should advocate raising the age to 25. No serious scientist is advocating that. And if we're not going to do that, 21 is a quite arbitrary point to place the age.
We have 30 seconds left, and I'm going to give it to Karen in South Orange, because I can tell you that all the callers, including the ones we had on so far, were for lowering the drinking age, except Karen in South Orange. So, Karen, we'll give you a shot here. You've got 20 seconds.
Okay. I think the college professors are way off base. Part of the problem, the kids drinking more and more, and I have three college-age kids that have just completed college, is that the colleges are allowing more drinking on campus because they're not preventing it. They have beer crawls that they support where kids go around from 1 o'clock in the afternoon to midnight after.
Karen, we have to leave it there. 10 seconds for a response. Dr. McArdle.
That's simply not true on college campuses. College campuses are enforcing the law. The more successful they are, the more they force drinking behind closed doors.
This debate just begun and initiated largely by the group Choose Responsibility, led by John McArdle, former president of Middlebury College. We also thank Laura Dean Moody from Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Thank you both very much.